Well, our text for Palm Sunday is on page 717 in your pew Bibles, if you want to follow along there, chapter 11 of Mark, where we have the triumphal entry of Palm Sunday. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied in a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. Now when they had brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went back to Bethany with the 12." Well, Palm Sunday procession. It was kind of like a ticker tape parade. Now, ticker tape is a little perforated stuff on the side of paper. It used to be old machines. It would move the paper through the machine as it would type out, and it was originally for the stock market information. And they would tear off this perforation, and then they wouldn't know what to do with this garbage they had. So they figured out, next time we have a parade, we'll throw it out the window. And so that started all the way back to 1886. It was the first ticker tape parade. And when John Glenn had his parade in New York City, 3,500 tons of ticker tape were thrown from the windows in the skyscrapers. 3,500 tons of ticker tape. Well, we don't have ticker tape parades anymore. There's a little confetti out there, but there is no more ticker tape. And beside, you can't throw anything out of the windows anymore. All the windows now are sealed shut. They don't open like they used to in the past. But like the people in New York, when the parade started for Jesus, they used what they had. And of course, in Jerusalem, what you have are palm trees. And so they cut the palm branches off and they strewn them on the streets in front of Jesus. But Jesus really didn't come to be worshiped as a hero, even though that's why they welcomed him. You know, in modern day language, he was a dead man walking. You know, if you remember, as we came up on Palm Sunday, three different times in the Gospels, Jesus tells his disciples, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, be rejected by the scribes, the priests, the elders, be killed, and then 3 days rise." So it was no accident that Jesus was killed. I mean, he knew that's what he was going into Jerusalem. So can you imagine how difficult that must have been for him? Even as the crowds are saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," he knows he's coming in to die. And he knows those cheers of Hosanna are quickly going to turn into cries of, "Crucify him, crucify him." Well, in many ways, you can understand why the people would have a misunderstanding of Jesus, why they would expect him to be coming as the conquering hero. For the first thing, it's the Passover celebration. And what does the Passover celebrate? The Exodus. It celebrates freedom from Pharaoh. It celebrates God raised up Moses, a leader who led the people against Pharaoh, led them out of captivity to the promised land. So if that's what they're celebrating, you can imagine as Jesus comes into Jerusalem on Passover, their minds are filled with, is this the new Moses? Is this the Messiah who, like Moses, is going to lead us out of, instead of the oppression of the Pharaoh, it's the oppression of the Romans? And so that's they were all thinking about that. That's what the whole theme of Passover was. And the second thing about it is, if you wanted to rebel, this was the one time of the year you could, because literally hundreds of thousands of Jews came into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, the whole countryside. So if there ever was a time you were going to recapture Jerusalem, which was the stronghold of the area, that was the day it was going to happen, because you had the manpower, you had the masses there in the city who could actually, you know, have an uprising against the Romans. They may be better equipped and better trained, but when you got that many people on your side, that's when the people would expect an insurrection to take place. Now, the third thing about it is, we've always assumed when Jesus came in riding on a donkey, oh, that was a humble figure, and it showed how humble Jesus is. But there's a passage in Zechariah 10, 9, and 10. And that passage says, "Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea." And in fact, it also says he'll cut off the chariot from Ephraim, which is Israel, and the war horse he'll send away from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. So our mindset so often is, oh, look at this humble king. But if you're a Jew of that day, you go, our king, triumphant and victorious, is coming, and he's going to cast off the battle bow. He's going to cast off the chariots. He's going to send away those, and he will command peace and have dominion from sea to sea. So here you have Jesus coming at Passover, hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem, and he's riding on a donkey that really is fulfilling a prophecy about a victorious king. So they were primed, and that's why they say, blessed is the coming of the Lord. And if you look carefully of that text, it says, blessed is the coming of the kingdom of David. That's very important, because King David was the most powerful political time that Israel ever had. And so the people are greeting Jesus, blessed are you who's going to come and reestablish for us the kingdom of David. So in all those areas, they were primed, but Jesus knew that wasn't his mission. Jesus did not come for political insurrection. He came as a humble man to preach love and forgiveness and salvation through his death. And so we see the first thing Jesus does when he arrives in Jerusalem, and the next passage after our text ended on Palm Sunday, is he goes into the temple and he throws out the money changers and he says, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. You know, it should be a house of prayer. And we realize Jesus came for spiritual renewal, not political insurrection. And so we see over and over again that that was the theme of Jesus. That he wasn't there to overthrow, but he was there to establish a new kingdom of love and forgiveness as such as the world had never known up until that time. And so when they tried to encourage him to political insurrection, you know, they brought him the coin with Caesar's face, you know, are we going to pay taxes? Are you going to tell us, no, don't pay taxes to Caesar? He's the awful emperor who occupies us. They were hoping that he would say no, but he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God. He really wasn't interested in political renewal. He was interested in spiritual renewal. In fact, when he talked out against the leaders in the temple, not only did he overturn the tables and cast out the money changers, but Jesus said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace, to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets, but then they devour widows' houses and love to be seen praying in public. You know, Jesus says it's not just about the ritual, but do you care for others? Do you have compassion, or do you do your religious duty and then turn around the next day and take advantage of other people? Now, Jesus was there for spiritual renewal, and once he overturned those temples and once he attacked the scribes like that, he knew indeed he was a dead man walking, because it wasn't then just Rome that wanted him. He wasn't a threat to Rome as much as he was a threat to the temple and to the leaders of his day. In fact, later then, when Jesus finally does appear before Pilate, and Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so we see he came for spiritual renewal, but he did come to change the world, just not through political insurrection. He came to change the world, to overcome evil with good. And so Jesus calls us to love not just your friends, not even just your neighbors, but to love even your enemies. He says, "My kingdom is a kingdom of forgiveness." And when his disciples say, "What does that mean, a kingdom of forgiveness? How often should we forgive? Like 7 times? No, 70 times 7, more than you can imagine. That the core of who we are as followers of Jesus is a group of people that says forgiveness is fundamental to who we are as a people, as we interact with one another and within our world. And Jesus also said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." You know, he says, before your nation, before even your family, and even before your own desires, seek the kingdom of God first, and then all these other things will come unto you. So he called us, set a new priority in life. Change your life, not by violence, but through faith, through commitment, through sacrifice, through forgiveness, through love. That's what led Jesus to come in on Palm Sunday, and that's what led him to the cross. The leaders and the other people didn't realize Jesus came to die. You know, the leaders thought they had arrested him and they were responsible. Ultimately, the only person responsible for the death of Jesus was Jesus. He was the one that entered knowing he would die. He was the one that chose that path. No one forced it on him. Had he not wanted to die, all the Roman troops wouldn't have had any luck in capturing him. But it was his will to suffer and die for us. You know, the writer to Hebrews goes into great length to talk about just how this death of Jesus accomplished our salvation, and how his death was different than all the sacrifices that had been made in the temple. And in Hebrews 10:10, he kind of wraps it up by saying, "It is by God's will that we have been sanctified, made holy, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all." And so that's what Jesus did when he came into Jerusalem. His death made us holy, offered us forgiveness. And so Palm Sunday begins with a wonderful celebration of the coming King who comes in the name of the Lord. But even as the people are welcoming him as a conquering King, he knows he's a dead man walking. He knows his path is going to be the cross. But it's because he walks that path that we have life. The dead man walking is our Savior giving us life. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we all like celebrations and parades. We all like victories. We don't like the sacrifice so much. But you have led the way for us to follow. You have said, "Take up your cross." That you have walked a path of sacrifice for others. You have walked a path of forgiveness for us and others. You have walked the path of ultimate love. Lord, we commit our lives to you, that your kingdom may be first in our lives. So, Lord, give us your Spirit, that through your strength we may forgive, we may sacrifice, we may love, that your kingdom may come here on earth, even as it is in heaven. Amen.